Thank you, Kyle, for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is the Word of God and that it is good for us to hear it read and to learn from it. So if we have not met, let me introduce myself. My name is Sean. I serve as one of the pastors here, and I'm excited that you are here today. We are going to dig into God's Word together. Have you ever met someone that seemed a lot more religious than you? Ever met someone like that? I remember when I was young, I saw these guys who seemed that way. They were monks, so they dedicated themselves to prayer and to different things that showed how devoted they were to God. And they had this one thing that they would do. It was very interesting. They would walk around chanting something. I think it was in Latin. I didn't really understand it. But they were chanting this, you know, whatever they were saying. They would chant as they were walking. And they were holding this thing in their hand. It looked like maybe a religious relic, perhaps, as they were chanting this. And they would walk around. And after they got done chanting it, they would pause for just a second. And then they would take this religious relic and they would hit themselves in the head with it. And I saw that and I was like, what on earth? Like, what? I mean, they seem really devout. Like, there must be a purpose. But why? Why do that? And you know, I never got an answer to that question. I mean, it's kind of understandable because these monks were from the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail. They weren't actually monks. Have you ever felt that way before? Like you see something that Christians are doing or you feel like that you should be doing as a Christian and you go, okay, but why? Why do that? We are in the season of Lent right now, and that means that we're approaching Easter. And as we are approaching Easter, we are looking to Jesus and then looking at ourselves, and we are searching our souls. That's what we're calling our series of lessons, searching the soul. Because we want to see the glory of Jesus, and then we want to see how we can change, things we can do in our lives to experience the grace of God more and more and more. And today we are talking about prayer. That is something the Bible talks about a lot, and it's a question, or it's a topic that we can ask the question of, okay, but why? Why pray? Have you ever thought about that? The Bible answers it for us. So this morning we are looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and we are going to see three reasons to pray. Three reasons to pray. Let's start with the first one. Number one, pray because prayer is medicine for worry. Pray because prayer is medicine for worry. Now, worry is something that we all deal with. People throughout time have always dealt with worry. Not long ago, I really wanted to watch a playoff football game. And I heard that this game was not going to be on TV, you know, like a normal football game would be. Instead, it was going to be on a specific streaming service. And so I'm driving when I hear this, and I'm like, I don't know if we have a subscription to that stream. I mean, there are a billion of them out there. Who knows if we have one? And so I start thinking, okay, could I maybe get the login information from one of my friends? I mean, you do that too. I know it. And I was like, okay, but will I be able to watch this game? And I started getting worried about it. I was worried about missing a playoff football game. And I guess it's the strongest shoulders that can carry the heaviest burdens, you know? We worry about things. Well, the people that this is written to, the Philippian people, that is the people in the city of Philippi that were Christians, they were dealing with other things. They were worried about dying because of their faith in Jesus. They were worried about people no longer doing business with them because they were Christians and they were considered outlaws in some way to the government. And so if they couldn't do business, then they couldn't have food and they couldn't eat, they would eventually starve. They were worried about starvation and death. People have always been worried about something. It's just different things. Well, the Bible does not assume that there is nothing bad or nothing worrisome in this world. We don't have a religion that tells us, hey, everything is fine. I know it might look like everything is on fire, but it's not, you know, and ignore the heat and the smell of smoke. Just go on with your life. No, that's not what Christianity says. Christianity recognizes that this world is broken. And that we get worried about things. So the Bible then talks about how to deal with worry. Maybe you are worried today. There's plenty you could be worried about, right? World War III starting. Another pandemic. The economy crashing. A massive hurricane hitting our area. your kids growing up and not knowing Jesus and you want them to, maybe losing your job or getting a bad report from the doctor or not getting into the college that you want or not excelling in the career you want, there are plenty of things to worry about. And maybe you're like, Sean, I wasn't worried before, but goodness. There's a lot to worry about. And here's what God tells us. Even though there is a lot to worry about in life, he says, don't worry about anything. Now, wouldn't you love to not have worry in your life? Wouldn't you love to be worry-free? Well, then hear what the Bible says. In fact, look at it with me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You hear that? Instead of worrying, do something else. Instead of worrying, he says, pray, bring your requests to God. It's like prayer is medicine for worry. So when you start getting worried, you pray. You know, wouldn't you love medicine for worry? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, you're like, I would take that more than Tums. And that's really saying something. We want medicine for, well, we have it right here. Pray instead of worrying. And this says that we can bring anything to God, present our requests, no matter what it is. It could be things that are huge or things that are tiny. I mean, maybe you are worried about that little hangnail on your pinky finger getting a little bit infected and it just being sore for a few days. You don't want to experience that. Well, you're worried about that? Then pray. Or maybe you are worried about that noise that your car is making. You don't know what it is, but it sounds expensive. You're worried about that? Then pray. Or you're worried about being in a new place and finding new friends to connect with? Then pray. Are you worried that maybe your retirement won't last, it'll run out, and you don't know what you will do in your later years? Then pray. Because prayer is medicine for worry. No matter how big your worry, no matter how small your worry, prayer is the medicine for it. When we come to God in prayer, we find that he is so much bigger, so much more powerful than whatever we are dealing with, that he can overcome our worry by the power of his Holy Spirit. Prayer is medicine for worry. Now, Carl, he was really happy to have just a few days off work. He had been working a lot, and he got off Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to spend with his family. So he snuggled up on the couch in his favorite spot, and he turned on his favorite Christmas movie. But his Christmas spirit soon gave way to fear and terror when he got a text from his doctor's office. And that text said, "You have advanced stage lung cancer." He thought to himself, "Oh no, how did I not know? I mean, there was no signs of this. How did I not know it?" And he looked at his phone and he saw this and he couldn't even speak. He showed it to his mom and his mom broke down in tears. He was as worried as he had ever been about anything in his life. Then 20 minutes later, he got another text from his doctor's office that said this: "Please accept our sincere apologies for the previous text message sent. This has been sent in error. Our message to you should have read, 'We wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.'" You know what that second text did for his worry? Made it go away. That text was like medicine for his worry. That there are things that will worry you in life. If you haven't been worried this week, this coming week, something will probably worry you. Things that seem unbeatable, things that seem unconquerable will worry you. And when that worry creeps into your life, do you know what you should do? Pray. Because prayer is medicine for worry. Now, it doesn't mean that whatever is worrying you will go away. It doesn't mean that the world will suddenly become perfect. It doesn't mean that everything will be right. But God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will take away your worry. Are you worried today? Then pray, because prayer is medicine for worry. That's the first reason to pray. There's a second reason that we find to pray here. Number two, pray because prayer is interacting with God. Pray because prayer is interacting with God. Have you ever had to ask the government for something? Have you ever had to go down to the planning department or something like that and try to get something from them? But when you do that, you show up and you are probably a lot nicer than you normally are. You probably use friendlier words than you would typically use. You are probably a little more patient than you would normally be, because you need something from the government, because you want to get something from them. You want to be in their good graces. You want them to look at you and go, hey, yes, you are worthy of whatever you are asking for, so I'm going to give it to you. So what you do is you kind of put on a mask. You do a little bit of acting. You're on your best behavior, at least while you're in the office, so that you can get what you want. Well, look with me at verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We are told through prayer to come to God and present our requests to him. Well, we're told to do this when we are worried. So when things are going on in our life, we can come to God in prayer. When things in our life start going on that make us uneasy, when things in our life start going on that rob us from our sleep, when things in our life start going on that steal our peace from us, we can come to God and present our requests to him. And when we come to God, we don't have to put on a mask. We don't have to pretend like we have it all together. We don't have to make up this faith that we lack. We can come to God in honesty, with all of our baggage, with everything that bothers us, with an untrusting heart, we can come to him and beg for help. And when we do that, broken and flawed and untrusting as we are, God hears us. We can come to him honestly with our struggles. We can come to him because he listens to us. And we can present our requests to God. Now, you might get a little anxious going down to talk to a county official about getting something done. Now imagine if you were going down to talk to the governor about getting something. You'd be a little more anxious, wouldn't you? Now imagine if you went to talk to the president of the United States to get something done. You would be more anxious than talking to the governor. And it's because you think to yourself, hey, these people, they got more to do than deal with my little problems, right? Hey, these people have bigger fish to fry. They have bigger problems to solve. They don't need to spend their time with me. Well, when we pray, we approach God. We interact with God. Now, you think having an audience with the president is a big deal? When you pray, you are talking to the King of Kings. When you pray, you are talking to the one who is in control of everything. When you pray, you are talking to the one who created far distant galaxies that you don't even know about. In prayer, we interact with God who designed cellular structures so that life can exist and thrive. In prayer, we interact with God who wrote the laws of physics so that we're not all just floating around right now. Though if you go over to the kids, you know, they might be all over the place. We are interacting with God who gave humanity the gift of language so that we could understand each other and have meaningful relationships. When we pray, we are interacting with the one who is in charge of everything that has ever happened throughout all of time. He is way more important than anyone who will sit in the White House. And in prayer, you get to interact with him. Prayer is interacting with God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that breathtaking? Isn't that an honor? Don't you think that when you start praying, don't you think to yourself, God, I know that you hear me, but I know you have bigger things to deal with. And don't you start to feel, don't you go, okay, God, I have some requests, but you're busy keeping the world together. Maybe I just shouldn't bother you with what's going on. Now, we can feel that way because God is holding everything together, but also, he cares about you. Also, he wants to commune with you in prayer. He wants to hear from you. And when our hearts go, hey, God, I know that you are in control of everything. I know that you are keeping the laws of physics together right now. But this little thing that somebody said to me in passing is really bothering me. So allow me to pray. When we do that, God hears us. And he cares about us. And he welcomes our requests. He invites us to it. He wants you to share with him what is bothering you. He wants you to share with him what is weighing you down. He wants you to share with him your frustrations over how things are going. And though he is in charge of every galaxy, he cares about the smallest thing going on in your life. So pray, because when you pray, you interact with God. Let me ask you a question. If you could have lunch with anyone that has ever existed, who would it be other than Jesus? You can't say that. Who would that be? Now, it might be a historical figure. It might be a famous athlete. It might be a celebrity. It might be a politician. Just kidding. No one's going to say that. Who would it be? You've probably thought of this before. If someone came to you and said, hey, don't ask me how, but I have got a plan for you. It is to have lunch with that person. It's going to be at Los Rancheros at noon on Friday. You'd be like, well, at least there's chips and salsa, you know, even if this is a scam. But if that person was like, hey, I know this sounds crazy, but it's true. And you showed up and you get to be there and you see that person, how would you feel? Would you be excited? Would you think that it is an honor? Would you be pumped about the time that you get to spend with? I mean, this person is famous, or this person has meant a lot to you, and they are spending time with you. You get to interact with them. Isn't that awesome? Well, when we pray, we are interacting with the God of the universe, the one who created everything just by speaking, the one who is in control of tornadoes and countries and time itself. When we pray, we are talking to and hearing from God, who is infinitely better than Abraham Lincoln or Michael Jordan or Taylor Swift or whoever else. In prayer, we are interacting with God, the infinite one, the glorious one, the all-powerful one, the all-knowing one. We are interacting with God. So why should you pray? Because prayer is interacting with God. So that's the second reason why you should pray. There is a third reason why. There's number three. Pray because prayer is the path to peace. Pray because prayer is the path to peace. And we said earlier that we are all worried about something. You know, there's something going on in our lives that we get worried about. And we all want to be free from worry. Well, equal to our desire to be free from worry is our desire to have peace. Don't you want peace? You know, you look at your life and you think, I would love to have a little peace. Now, peace is when your heart is settled. Peace is when, even if the world is going wrong, you have this calm that can't be shaken. You want peace. I want peace. Everybody I've ever known wants peace. And the reason for that is because when God created the world and it was perfect, there was peace. And then sin came into the world and that peace got disrupted. And now we are all trying to get back there to that peace. And so we're searching for it. We're searching for peace everywhere. One famous writer, Ralph Waldo Emerson, once said, nothing can bring you peace but yourself. That sounds like a deeply insightful quote. Like, oh man, that's, but wait a second. And no offense, Ralphie, but that is completely off. That's not true. Think about that. How many of us have tried to bring peace in our lives? How many of us have tried to create peace for ourselves, and yet none of us in here have complete peace? Things always go wrong. No matter how hard we try, they go wrong. You know, you can try to be the best friend or neighbor or coworker, but someone is still going to stir up drama with you. You can try to put all of your resources in the right places, but something can happen that you can't predict that takes away your property or takes away your wealth. You can try to take care of your body by having a good diet and a good exercise routine, but someone can rear-end you and leave you with chronic back pain for the rest of your life. These things can disrupt our peace. And it doesn't matter what you do, you can't control all the things that happen. And when things like that happen to us, we try to make peace with them. We try to be okay with them, but if we're honest, we're just not strong enough. We always find that we fail to have peace in and of ourselves. And we think, I did everything right. You know, I was compassionate, I was responsible, I was generous, and things in my life just aren't working out like I want them to. There is still turmoil, and I just can't handle it. We can't bring ourselves peace, no matter what we do. But that doesn't mean you can't have peace. Look with me at verse 7. And the what? Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not your peace that you need. It is God's peace. It's not this peace that you can manufacture for yourself. You need the peace that only can come from God. You can't make it, but God can. When you pray, it says here, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is given to you. I mean, that's the peace of God that doesn't even make sense. The peace of God that you can't explain to other people. The peace of God which you can't rationalize. God gives that to you as you pray. See, prayer is the path to peace. How interesting that it says that this peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. But let's think about that. Because we are in a world that is affected by sin, because we are in a world that is messed up, there are things that will try to steal your peace. Things can happen to you that get in your mind and get in your heart. Hasn't something like this happened to you before? Where something happens and then you lose sleep over it because you're thinking, well, that is just not right what happened to me. And you can't stop thinking about it. And then it trickles down into your heart and you start getting angry about it or anxious about it. You know what those things are doing? Stealing your peace. You know what you should do when that happens? Pray. You see, your heart and your mind are consumed by those things, but when we pray, God gives us peace that guards our hearts and guards our minds. It's like he gives us a bulletproof vest and a bulletproof helmet so that whatever happens, we will not worry. We will have peace. And what ends up happening then is that we have peace instead of worry. We have peace instead of anxiety. We have peace instead of panic. There's another book of the Bible that talks about this. It's the book of Isaiah. In the chapter 26, verse 3, this is what it says. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. When something happens in your life and those thoughts start swirling around in your mind and you can feel those things creeping into your heart, you know what you need to do? Pray. Because prayer is the path to peace. Talk to God about it. And when you do, you will find that he gives you peace in the midst of the storm that you are facing. Do you want peace? Well, prayer is the path to peace. One man shared with me his experience in World War II. He fought in the Pacific, the Battle of Okinawa, which was a horrible battle. In fact, to this day, it remains the bloodiest battle in the history of the United States Marines. As they were fighting, nearly 70% of his unit was killed in combat. They were constantly under enemy fire from machine guns and tanks and artillery and snipers. They were always facing death. And the soldiers couldn't even fall asleep because they were worried if they fell asleep that the mortar rounds would come in and blow them up, or that an enemy soldier would sneak into their foxhole and kill them. It was chaotic. It was brutal. It was war. And so I asked this man how he felt as he was in battle. And what he shared with me was wild. He said, it's crazy to say this because I know there was always a lingering fear for all of us, but I can say that in battle, I had peace. Peace? In battle? When people are trying to kill you? And he was part of a machine gun crew, which was the number one target. People were always trying to kill him. And yet, he had peace. And so I asked him, how is that possible? How could you have peace in the middle of all that? And this is what he told me. He said, I prayed a lot. I prayed all the time. I was constantly talking to God. And yes, there was a lot going on, but he gave me this peace that I can't even describe to you. I just kept praying and praying and praying, and as things would happen, I would have more and more and more peace. You see, what he knew is what we need to know, that prayer is the path to peace. Why pray? Because prayer is the path to peace. Today, maybe you need peace in your life. Maybe there is chaos in your life. Maybe you are unsettled. Prayer is the path to peace. You need to call out to God. You need to share your struggles with him. You need to ask him for help. And when you do, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is the path to peace. So why pray? Because prayer is medicine for worry. Because prayer is interacting with God. And because prayer is the path to peace. If you are not a Christian, you are here today. I'm glad you're here. I just want to talk to you for a second. I know that you don't have peace in your life. And you say, Sean, you don't know anything about my life. Yeah, but I know that you don't have peace because you don't have peace with God. And if you don't have peace with God, you won't ever have true peace. See, you have done wrong. You have sinned just like me, just like everybody else in here. And your sin has made you an enemy of God, has set you against God. And one day God will judge his enemies for their sin. But there's hope for you today. Because he loves us, God sent his son Jesus to live the perfect life we should have lived and to die the sacrificial death in our place so that now, because Jesus died for our sin, we can have peace with God. We can now let our worries go. We can now interact with God all because of Jesus. And so if you have not trusted in him today, this is your moment. Cry out to him in your heart. Say, I know I have done wrong. I know I am a sinner. Forgive me based on what Jesus has done and who he is. And if you believe that in your heart, you will be forgiven of your sin. You will experience the peace of God. Your worries will melt away. If that's you today, if you know that I'm talking to you, then we are going to sing a song here in just a minute. I'm going to be standing right down here. And as everybody else sings, I invite you to come down and just talk with me. Let me pray for you. Let me guide you in trusting in Jesus. But do not leave here today without trusting in him and finding forgiveness of your sin. Christians, why don't you pray more? I mean, think about that. Why don't you pray more? Is it because you're busy? Is it because you just don't remember to? Is it because you have too much going on? Is it because you are trying to handle everything yourself? Why don't you pray more? Maybe it's because you don't see that prayer is the medicine to worry. Maybe it's because you don't see that in prayer you are interacting with God. Maybe it's because you don't see that prayer is the path to peace. Well, this week, friends, can't we commit ourselves to prayer? Let's be people who pray. Let's be people who come to God and talk to him about everything. Let's be people who experience God's blessings as we pray. So set aside time to pray this week. Put it in your calendar, put it on your schedule. And as you do, you will experience the blessings of God in Jesus. You see, as we pray, our hearts are more drawn to Jesus. We become more in love with him and we give more of our lives to him. Let's be people who pray this week. So I'm going to pray now, and then we are going to worship God through singing together, the one who hears us when we pray. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. We don't deserve to be heard when we pray. Lord, we have sin in our hearts. We have things going on in our lives that make us more dependent on ourselves, but we come to you in prayer this morning, longing for your peace. Lord, show us the privilege that we have of interacting with you. Lord, take away our worry. All of us come in here plagued with something, Lord, and I pray that this morning we would see your glory above everything and we would be drawn to prayer. Thank you, Lord, that because Jesus died, we can pray to you and we can be heard. So, Lord, make us a people of prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.